Session number 10767, Rule 2.
Mr. Joe Fitzpatrick, Reel 2. You were telling me about the printing works, if you'd like to continue.
Yes. And Mr. Boy, and I used to read the copy, full stops, commas, question mark, and all the lot, didn't I? And he'd put the corrections in, I said, before they were properly put into type. And sometimes, when there was a book finished or something, they used to throw all the type on a board and file it up. And I used to practice putting the type in its size and in its letter, you see, just for a bit of practice. But it wanted plenty of terps on it to clean it up. And beyond this job of checking, copy, and it'd be somewhere about 2 o'clock. He said, "Go to Turner's round the corner." He said, "The cafe, Mr. Gill, put a tea cake and a small pot of tea." I used to do that, and then when I'd finished, I used to take them back again. I think it cost a tanner that then. He had to pay a tanner for it. And I'd be there about 3:30 to 3:45. Well, I'd done this 3 or 4 times, and I thought, well, dearie me, I'll bet he's a conservative. I said, he didn't even give me 8 minutes or a penny towards my tamper. I thought, well, he's a writer. Didn't even give me a penny or 8 minutes for my tamper. I said, and also, I'd had nothing to eat since my little bit of breakfast. I said, it had spoilt my day.
What, because of missing the football?
Certainly. Anyway, I decided to leave.
What was this firm called? Can you remember?
Oh, yes. Richard Gill.
Richard Gill.
12 Tib Lane. Put that down, 12 Tib Lane. Have you got it?
So what did you decide to go for then? What year did you leave? You went there in 19...
Well, I left before I had done 12 months.
So it'd still be 1910, yeah?
Yeah. And I got a job at Isaac Thorpe's, Church Street, off High Street, Manchester. It was a big warehouse. First of all, I'd had a lift put in, and they had me on this lift for a week or two. But it was a job that didn't need anybody, so I was posted to the fancy department. Well, this is all everything. Fur necklets, Peter Pan collars, handkerchiefs, table covers, any furs that wanted curing and making up, foxes and that. Used to do all that, or we sent that job out to be done.
What did you actually have to do in this?
And the buyer of this department, well, I what's the name? The staff was Mr. Hume. He lived at Cheadle Hume. He was second in command, and then there was a Miss Hollingsworth, Miss Cresty, and Miss White. And we had a Welsh youth with us for a short time. And this Welsh youth, he lived in at some hostel. These people that lived out like that, they thought their son was going to learn to a wonderful job. I said they were exploited. I said, cheap labour. I said, I moved there for £6 a week, which was a lot to me and to my mother. And, of course, I had my Saturday afternoons out. Well, I used to do a bit of cross-country running. And I used to be a member of Crumsall Lads Club in St Mary's Road, Higher Crumsall. And I think that was mainly of the Labour MP who I mentioned. He was instigator of that club being formed with the gymnasium and a snooker table, showers. And I used to go up there and I used to put my pumps on. We had pumps, what we called pumps then, not fancy boots. And I used to set off. And if I was passing a couple, I always used to cough before I got near them, because I never used to like to see them jump with fright, I said, because the lighting in them days wasn't so excellent. And I used to run round Brookfield Road, Crumsall, right round Sheafoot Lane, and back round home again, and then have a good shower, which was a wonderful thing. And I used to love every minute of it. I even run at Eaton Park, a chap named Charlie English. He had a brother named Joe English, older than himself, and he was recognised as being the fastest mile runner in it. But they both belonged to Ancus Lads Club. And Charlie and myself and two more, we entered a team in the business house, cross country run at Eaton Park. And Charlie said, the one that finishes first, I'll pay for the tea, which was a tanner. Sixpence. So off we went, and we had to do two circuits, down to the main, to the Middleton Road gates, turn right, follow the wall round, right round to the top of Sheafoot Lane, turn right, come round down by Simister, and come back to the town, to the main hall, and then go round again. And the lad that from Sparrow Hardwick, a chap named Spencer, I think his name was, and he won the one of my comrades that I was competing with. I beat him very, very easily. I finished in the first 40 out of about 200. And Charlie was highly delighted. I never thought you'd do it, Joe. I never thought you'd do it. I said, I thought I did. And there was two chaps. We were about 200 yards from home. And there was two of us, a fella. And we raced and raced. And we both crossed the line, dead eating together. And they all clapped. I said, I felt quite pleased with myself. And also, I'd won a bun and a cup of tea. Well, that I was still to bitch. Later, in 1910, I have a picture, a cutting out of the Manchester Evening News, of early morning bathers, Eaton Park Lake. Well, the lake was opened a few years then, and Eaton Park was bought by the corporation of Lord Wilton. And we stood in the water about a dozen yards off the side, and this reporter come and took the picture. And myself and my younger brothers on it, there's about a dozen of us there. And it was August the 10th, 1910. And it wasn't very warm, the water. We were shivering there. But as long as we had a swim, wherever there was a pond, I used to always cast off and dive in and out again. I said I used to love it. I learned to swim at Cheetah Mills Baths, which was near Squire Street, where we lived, eventually.
Did you come into contact with any of the boys? You've told me about Crumsall Lads Club, and I'll come back to that, but any of the national boys, things like the Boy Scouts or the Boys Brigade or any of those?
No, I was never in the Boy Scout or the Boys Brigade, but a lot of my friends were. And I remember the time, in that period, when we used to wear a little badge, and it was a white badge with a blue slice, and it had NS, and that was non-smoking. I said, and I think the youngsters today should have something like that, now that they wouldn't smoke, see? But I can give my smoking up whenever I want. So, Anyway.
Now, this Crumsall Lads Club, you say, was formed by the Labour MP. Did you have an interest in Labour politics at the time when you were...
Oh, no, no. Politics were miles away from my thoughts. And all they developed my experience, my knowledge of politics. In fact, I mentioned it. There was a Mr. Wood in charge of that club. And I remember a chap, he had a withered leg and he walked on two crutches. And in his fine body, his body, it was absolutely a picture. And he used to get on the parallel and he used to get onto the rings. And it was a wonderful. I thought, my. Fancy a crippled fella being able to have a body like that. But I've just forgotten his name now. But I remember as if it was yesterday. He lived close by in a place called Fountain Street.
So how long, while you were doing, how long were you at Isaac Thorpe's?
I got to salesman, and the prices were coded, you know. I think that they used Manchester, M for one and A for two, see, N for three, and I knew that a third was put on for ordinary customers, and the shopkeepers would bring somebody with them to see what they wanted, you know. And you could easily reckon up and say, oh, yes, that's so much, you see. That was retailer's price on, you see. And in fact, I used to go home with the headache because I used to have to write letters to the travellers that were out in the country with the barrow. You used to have a barrow, you went wherever they got to a place, there was a lot of barrows outside, and they used to say, right, come on. And perhaps I'd spend the night there and send the post off, and I was very, very interested in it. But then eventually I thought, well, I should be getting a bit more money here. So my younger brother, he could type, and he was in the office of this mantle factory in Trafalgar Street, Lord Broughton, of the CWS. And so I got this job in this cloth department, and that was issuing the cloth out to the cutters, and sometimes making parcels up for people that wanted suit lengths and that, see, and it was quite decent. Well, Mr. Wintle was in charge, and his father had a pub right opposite the gates of St. Mark's Church in Mark Lane, Cheetah Mill, on the borders of Salford, that was. And he had a younger brother, Billy Winkle. And he joined up right away. And once when I was on leave, I called. I think he blamed me for the lad being killed. I felt very sorry for him. I said, look, Mr. Winkle, I'm getting blown to pieces, same as Billy's got. I said. So anyway.
So you were working at the CWS, the Cooperative Wholesale.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
When the war broke out, were you?
Yes.
Had you been expecting war at all in August 1914? Did you follow what was going on abroad?
Well, very little. I mean, so you're sports-minded and whatnot, and it as long as you were in a bob or two, that was a main thing in life. Once it was declared, of course you hated the Germans and you helped to give them a bad name and this, that and the other.
Was there any demonstrations against German civilians in Salford, you know, civilians living in the area?
I don't know about Salford, but I was living in Squire Street, off East Street, Eaterville, number 58, the top house. And down in the village, what we call the village, there was a pork butcher's, Kramer's, and beginning with K, and they used to barrack him and whatnot. I suppose that then he packed off. But what they did with the Germans of origin, they packed mostly to the Isle of Man. And they stayed there for 4 years. Dead, I suppose, they'd come back again and all was forgotten and forgiven. Those individuals had nothing to do with the war. It was just their nation that had gone to war, and they happened to be in the wrong place.
Now, when the war broke out, were you tempted to enlist straight away, either underage or just...
Well, my mother had six sons. And four were in the army. One in the East Lancs, one in the RASC, one in the Rifle Brigade, and one in the 2nd Manchester.
Had they joined before the war started?
No, after the war. After the war started. At the beginning of the war. And I was 19, and this fine day, I said to myself, well, they've all gone. You never met anybody you knew sort of style. And I said to him, I'm going to list. So I told my younger brother to tell them at the office where they were staying. Well, the court paid a certain amount of your wages, less your army pay. Well, that was pretty good, see? And I said to my mother, you'll be getting something from the co-op, you see? And so, all right. So I packed off down to Stretford Road, just near next door to Paulden Stores. On Stretford Road, the barracks there, the 2nd, 6th Battalion. And during peacetime, the 6th Battalion were the only battalion that had collar and cuffs, gold and cuffs. All the others was, and they were, I should say, a bit of a classy mob that was at the 6th Manchester and the 7th, really, which was at Burlington near the university. Of a good class of people. But I went down and I...
Is that what made you want to join them? Because you had the choice. That's the...
Well, my friend, John Wallace, he was a messenger boy, a telegraph boy on the post office, and he'll be inside Brown Street, Manchester. And his brother, he was a postman, and he used to get his letters at a sub-post office in Waterloo Road, Manchester, and he used to walk from there up Waterloo Road, up Cheetahmill Road to Broughton Park, and he used to do all that area, and every time you saw him, he always was reading a book. He was over 6 foot, slim, and he eventually became the MP, Labour MP for Bury, Derry. And of course, John, I do believe, after the war, I'll tell more about him later on, and me, a lot taller, and we used to have the boxing gloves on, and he used to give me a right facing.
So what have made them want to choose the 2nd 6th,
though? Oh? Well, because John was in him.
And why had he chosen them?
Well, because of a good mob.
And you went in because your friends were in?
Well, that too, eh? Yeah, I mean, see, I could have gone to the barracks there, and they might have said, "Oh, we're full up there. You'll have to go to the Scottish regiment or something." See, what they did with people when they went afterwards, later on in the war, they were put where they were wanted, not of choice.
But you still had this choice.
Oh yes,
but
yes.
You didn't think of the Lancashire Fusiliers battalions from the area.
No. No, never into me head. I wanted to join the 2nd 6th. And at that time, it was 3rd 6th.
And what exactly happened when you went to Stretford Road?
Well, I got a bit of a lecture, and then we walked...
What was that about?
Well, behaviour and this, that and the other. And you swore in. And then we walked down the road to Charlton Town Hall. Where they get Charlton Town Hall from, I don't know, in that area, because Charlton's a couple of miles away. But it was called Charlton Town Halls, opposite, there's a park opposite, and then Oxford Road. and went before the doctor, stripped off, and he examined you, tested your doings and all that, and then come back. I said, and then I put a pair of boots, white socks on, long socks, and a pair of boots that needed blacking because they were all leather, and puttees and whatnot. I said, and then a cap and a badge, an overcoat. And it was a lovely day, but I put the overcoat on because I'm a big believer in what keeps the heat out, keeps the heat in. I said, so you didn't notice it. And you could only get to a certain temperature, can't you? And then a kit bag, stuffing. So I got on the tram, which put me off away from home, from there. And walking up this Marshall Place and Orford Street, turned around the corner into Squire Street, I was just about red hot. Well, it didn't take me very long to do a bit of polishing up and cleaning up and whatnot. I said, and I was a soldier, so I had to go down to the barracks every morning at 9 o'clock.
So you were billeted at home?
Yes, billeted at home. And
what did your mother say when she found you joined up after four of her sons had already gone in?
Well, she never mentioned it. She said, my mother just took everything as it came.
She wasn't upset then?
No. She didn't have any emotion or anything like that. Oh, no. Four had gone, so I was the fifth. And when we used to get dismissed at Fulk, we used to go out on route marches, round Brooks Bar, Charlton.
So, what would the day be like then? You'd start off, what would a typical day be like from the start?
Well, you'd do a bit of right turn, round, a left turn, and four fours, and saluting, and this, that, and the other. In this little square of the barracks. And then we'd go out of the daytime and we'd go to flat fields up Palatine Road through Rusham and to the side of Rusham there, flat fields. And we used to do a bit of manoeuvring there on the left of one platoon and all this, that and the other. And then we used to do a bit of pretending lying down and firing, although we hadn't had a rifle in our hands for weeks and weeks because of course there'd be a shortage. And then after a while, we were moved to...
Hang on. So, what did you think of this early drill? How did you settle down to drill?
Well, I liked it.
What did you like about it?
I can't say exactly what I liked about it. It was a case of... It had to be done and it could be useful, what you was taught about it. Same as most things, whether what you went to lectures for musketry or... And then there was physical drill and whatnot.
Did that build you up successfully?
Definitely. Definitely. I'll come to that later on.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, you were in the 3rd 6th Battalion at this stage.
3rd 6th there.
And what was the date you joined? Do you remember the date you actually joined up?
Yes, May the 5th, 1915.
And how long were you billeted at home?
Billeted at home, I should say, about 3 weeks. And when we were being dismissed at the barracks, we were issued with discs with a certain amount on, penny, twopence, threepence. You see, and that was your tram fare. Home and then back again in the morning. See? You get the tram conductor accepted them, you see.
What was your first impression of your fellow members of the battalion, you know, the other new recruits?
I never thought anything at all about it at all. I never, it didn't worry me, they were the same as me.
You fitted in well with them?
Oh yes, there were swaddies. We were all swaddies and we were learning how to sing Tipperary and all that, you know. But
were any of your friends?
Before we went to Southport, we went to Whitworth Street, and we were vaccinated. And of course, within a couple of days, my arm swelled up and whatnot, and so did Harold Ensley, a fella that like I moved about with a lot. We moved to Southport into this young couple's house up at Asquith.
How bad was your arm?
Oh, it was bad. Well, we hardly did a parade. We walked about with our arms in a sling. We hardly did a parade. While the others were running up and down the sands, which was hard work. So, any road, a big draft had gone out from the second six to France, or Gallipoli, I don't know which. And, of course, they sent a big draft from Southport down to the second six, see, to make the number up. There's a big bunch of us. And I have a picture somewhere of them all together.
So you went, how long were you at Southport then?
Oh, well, I was there about, say, a fortnight or so.
And you, while you were there, what were you billeted with this friend?
There were a couple. They hadn't been married very long, and we billeted at this house.
How did they treat you?
Oh, very well indeed.
What did they provide?
Well, I mean to say, they'd give you a bit of supper, eh? And when he was... I can't just remember properly, but whether we got food from the army or not, but she would get food from the army, see? She would get materials from the army, I expect. But we're only there about a fortnight, as
we... training was on the beach, you say, before
you got this place? That's where I didn't train on the beach, because I got a bad arm, me and Harold. We used to walk about, and they all thought we were wounded soldiers.
How did they treat you then?
Very well indeed. Oh, they were a very nice couple, they were, at Asquith Avenue, Asquith.
And then there was this draft to the second six?
Yes, well, I was on that draft.
And when was that? Do you remember the month?
Just a minute. That'd be in the June. That'd be in the June, because that was 15. Yes, that'd be in the June, because we were at Crowborough till the following March.
So that's where that's where you joined them at.
That was about 10 months. Yes, yes, at Crowborough. And me and Emsley was in the same number one platoon. And we had a little sergeant named George Taylor. He worked at a warehouse just by where the old Manchester Reprison used to be in Oxford Street.
And number one platoon, that was A Company, wasn't it?
A Company. There was four platoons to a company. One, two, three, four to a company. And with auxiliaries and whatnot, you know, officer servants and cookhouse and this, that and the other, transport. So many of the platoon did jobs like that.
So what was your accommodation like at Crowborough then? What sort of...
Well, you've seen the picture, haven't you?
If you could just describe it, won't have that.
Well, there were huts. There were huts. And the old brigade was on this site. There was the 2nd, 5th, 2nd, 6th, 2nd, 7th, 2nd, 8th, 199th Brigade, 66th Division.
And what did the huts look like? What was in them?
Well, they had three boards on two trestles. And a place that way that they were curved in. And you'd a straw mattress and a straw pillar. And you had a couple of blankets.
Was that comfortable enough for you?
Like a bug in a rug. Yes. Very nice indeed.
And how many would there be to the room?
Number one, number two, two platoons.
To one room?
To one room, yes. One in one half and one in the other half.
Where would you put your personal kit?
Oh, on your bed. You'd have a kit bag.